This podcast is brought to you by Most Valuable Podcasts, leading the league in podcasting entertainment.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. This is the Fast Break Podcast. Back at it again. What only like 2 days before we did the actual Fast Break, and then I think we did the draft. We've been here all day.
I haven't slept.
We're never gonna leave. We're just never gonna leave.
Kevin Durant announces, and it's like, well, fuck it, not going to bed now.
Well, our idea was if he signs with the Thunder, we can just wait till Saturday. But now we're like, all right, now we have to come in. People are worrying.
Oh, why, shit, ban. Yeah, it happened.
Why isn't the video up already? It was the 4th of July. Thanks, Katie. Anyways, I'm Sean Anderson, the host of The Fast Break. Alongside me is Ricky Widmer.
What's up, what's up?
Nope, don't do that again.
I'm still doing it. I'm going to make it a thing, guys.
No, we don't want you
Rick,
to make
it's
it a
not
thing.
A thing.
And,
it's just not a thing.
And Dave is next.
Yeah, I'm
next
still one. Here. Cal Rap getting it all.
Unfortunately.
You know the spiel.
Unfortunately, Ricky is still here. But anyways, he's not going to be here in January. But let's get into the Kevin Durant signing. Kevin Durant ruining all of my 4th of July plans. Kevin Durant signed a 2-year deal worth $45 million, and there is a player contract. It is a 1-1, basically, and most likely he'll decline next year just to get more money.
Gotta get that money.
What are you guys' thoughts? I mean, KD going to Warriors.
I like it. I have nothing.
Really,
like,
really?
I have nothing against it.
You think it's a good fit? Do you think this makes the team better?
It does. And I know you're being sarcastic, but with all the hate that I've seen, like the biggest one is Stephen A., where it's like, you're just a ring chaser. It's not about leaving OKC. It's about who you went to. I look at it and I go, hey, man, if that's who he feels comfortable playing with, why not?
I look at that and say, I agree 100%. I mean, I look at this and you look at Kevin Durant. What did this team, what is this team that the Thunder had, you know, not say that they couldn't beat the Warriors? I mean, they're up 3-1.
Here's the thing, though, and I know that's the biggest thing you've heard all day on anything was, oh, well,
it's just the
you
truth.
Were 40 minutes away. But the biggest difference between OKC and the Golden State Warriors is they fired Scott Brooks, brought in Billy Donovan. And guess what? Kevin Durant had the same fucking problem with Russell Westbrook that he had with Scottie Brooks, which was, hey, Russ, pass KD the ball. Whereas in Golden State, they're always fucking passing the ball. So Kevin Durant's probably like, hey, I don't got to sit there and go, hey, asshole, pass me the ball.
Hey, asshole, pass me the ball.
It's just going to come to me because that's what the Warriors do.
But you don't think there's going to be any disparagement? You don't think his numbers are going to go down? He's playing with a guy who's won the scoring title twice, the MVP twice, and Steph Curry. He's playing with Klay Thompson, who averages about 20 a game. Draymond puts up about 15. You don't think this team's...
Well, I mean, you got to remember during the regular season, like, you know, they don't play the fourth quarter. So they can just let Kevin play the fourth quarter, and there, boom, you're leveled out.
I mean,
Kevin averaged just over 19 shots a game last year, 19.2. So, I mean, you look at Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes was about 11. Obviously, there's a wee bit of difference in shots. And I know, look, the bench players are going to get a little less
and
time.
And the kind of
Kevin,
shot.
Well, Kevin Durant will get better quality shots because of his height, his
and
advantage.
Bogut's gone too, so they don't really have to worry about that.
They'll be able to get him. He'll probably only drop down, worst case, like 17, maybe, shots per game. So, look, I think he'll still be... Points, no.
I thought you said points, and I was like, what?
No. Like 17 shots a game. Okay. I mean, there'll be nights when he only puts up 17 because he only needs to.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though, with those shots. Yeah, he may drop down to 17, but...
It's only two less shots a game. That's nothing.
I heard today that Kevin Durant last season ranked first overall in the NBA for shots with a defender, like, in his face. They're going to be open shots.
Because face
Golden
doesn't
State.
Matter when you got 3.5 feet on him in the arm.
I'm talking about like contested shots.
I know.
To where it's like
but
I'm
Kevin Durant is
someone.
6'11" with arms.
Still more difficult.
6'12", you want to say?
You got to be right. We're going to get eaten up either way.
But it's still more difficult shots than he's going to see with the Warriors. Most of his shots with the Warriors are going to be fucking wide open, which are going to be better for him.
It's definitely going to be hard for these teams to prioritize defending one of the three shooters on the floor. Mm-hmm. And then, God forbid, Draymond.
You could even say Draymond.
No. Shooters. Draymond
can step out and knock him down.
We did.
Baby.
We watched. You're right. The final that game fucking
he
seven.
Can knock
Jesus
him down.
Christ.
I think
he's confident.
I think Dave went more of you know like he can't
shooters.
Make the shot.
Pure
yeah,
shooters.
But when you line up Steph, Clay, and Kevin on the outside three arc, like who the fuck is gonna? No, you're just fucked.
You are. It's ridiculously insane. I mean. I was going to save this question for later, but is this the best team we've ever seen? I mean, just on paper.
On paper,
they have
yeah.
a possibility. Yeah.
Like even 2K wouldn't let me make this. You know, I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
Well, and you even know the newest edition they got because
also got Zaza
and they got David West
yeah, the David ultimate West. Ring chaser.
Mm-hmm. He was with the Spurs.
Back-to-back
that didn't work.
Minimum contracts.
With the Warriors.
I mean, this team is just absolutely low. And somebody else, they're going to pick up one more person probably to finish mm-hmm. it out, but. Mm-hmm. This team is just so fucking loaded. And, like, we joked about, or at least I joked about, you know, the fourth quarter of these games. Like, look, some of them are not even going to be close. They're going to be flat-out fucking blowouts. Kevin Durant is not going to play. Like, they can, because of having four superstars, legit superstars on that roster, they can space out, like, their minutes. They can make sure that everybody gets their own time. They're going to have time during this regular season to get their mojo going with Kevin Durant in there. Like, I know the big ESPN push early on was about, oh, well, how are they going to mesh compared to the big three? Well, the big three was a different situation. You got, mm-hmm. you know, three guys who have never played together. This year, just adding in one unique guy into an already established lineup.
That's the one thing. If they can't gel immediately and KD cannot, you know, fit into this offense right away.
I think they will gel immediately. But even if they don't,
my point is,
Worst case scenario, you still have Steph,
mm-hmm. Clay, and Draymond who have been together for three years plus. You have guys still in place. You have Iggy there. You have Livingston. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys can still produce with each other.
And the reason why I'm saying I feel like these guys are just going to gel immediately, and this kind of is another reason why I feel Kevin Durant chose the Warriors, was they were even saying today in reports that Steph Curry and Durant had one last phone conversation after the meeting with the Warriors, and Curry said, he's like, yeah, man, I don't care. If you win the MVP, I'm going to be sitting there in the front row clapping for you, supporting you. And it's like, I don't care if I have the ball. That's why this team, right now, I'm going to say that's why they're going to be so good.
And I want to take the knock and say no killer instinct.
They are all going to be unselfish.
Get the skip line.
At the same time, I could even say that Draymond has that killer instinct. Clay can have it. Draymond stepped up in the playoffs. Clay definitely does.
Yeah, I think I've been, honestly, this last playoff year was just really impressive for mm-hmm. everybody but Steph. I mean, Steph had his moments. He was injured, obviously. Like, that overtime fourth quarter, like, holy shit, he busted out. Mm-hmm. But that was his one moment. Clay bailed them out so much, and Draymond, team on his back, like, holy shit. Nobody expected that range out of him.
That's the one thing I do kind of want to mention, though, is, like, you know, if we look at the whole way this played out, it obviously started when they met up in the Western Conference Finals, you know, and then the Thunder went up 3-1, and then you look at the games of Kevin Durant after Game 4. You know, Game 5 at the Oracle, they lost that game, which is, I mean, it's pretty fair. I mean, mm-hmm. But KD didn't, like, you know, he wasn't a shell of himself. 40 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. But outside of that, you know, the games after that, he obviously saw a kind of a decrease. After Game 6, 29 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. They won the first three quarters clean, and yeah. then Clay obviously had that great performance. Clay hit 11 threes, and they didn't even show up in that fourth quarter. I mean, I think they
kind of scored
30-18.
Yep.
And then Game 7, it was kind of close, and, you know, 27 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists. I mean, KD didn't kind of show up there, and Clay just played out
of
his mind.
You know, the thing that stands out to me out of those stats is the assist number, and I think that's what's going to jump for Kevin Durant this year.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, he was averaging about 5 a year. I think 5 was his average per game. And yeah, that's going to jump up. His rebounds, with them bringing in Zaza, he might not have to be as reliant as we initially thought when it was like, oh, KD signs, oh, he's going to get like 12 boards a game because he's, you know, the guy second best next to Draymond for boards. But no, now they got Zaza, so he can really just concentrate on pass and shoot. Like, if he doesn't have to worry about mm-hmm. carrying this team, and that's the one thing with, you know, the Oklahoma State Thunder, it was him or Westbrook, and it was like that, like, who's taking this? And a lot of time Westbrook's very outspoken, so he would try to take, you know, control of the team. And then we saw them kind of late in the games have a little conflict about, you know, how they're going to close out this mm-hmm. game. I feel like Kevin, you know, he even in a smaller role in Golden State might flourish more because he doesn't have to worry about all of that. He can just play his game.
Well, and he doesn't, like, the biggest thing is he doesn't have to worry about, okay, how am I going to get my shots?
Yeah.
How am I going to get the ball in my hand? Because for Golden State, the ball's always moving. So by it always being moving, shooters are going to get it and be able to shoot. Like you said, with Golden State and Russell Westbrook, it was not necessarily, I want to take the game over. It was, at sometimes you'd see, and Durant would just be like, okay, when am I going to get the ball, Russ? Yeah. Oh, I got the ball. I've got 2 seconds to shoot and a fucking hand in my face.
But, I mean, outside of that, there were definitely games where KD did have the ball in his hands enough times. It wasn't just, you know, yeah. Russ kind of being – he did have games where he had the ball in his hands consistently and just could not finish. I mean, there was times where KD was just not the shell – he was kind of a shell of his MVP self. I mean, maybe it was still the injury that hurt him the year before, but he wasn't that killer, you know, instant guy. I mean, he was still hitting some shots at times, but I still go to that Mavericks game where I think he went, you know, 2-for-17. Was the only game they lost in that Mavericks series. I mean, he wasn't that consistent guy every night. I messed that one up. But you know, I look at this team, and obviously it's hard to compete with, you know, four players who are basically in the top 15 of
four
players in the NBA.
Four NBA All First Team,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Four All Stars. I mean, it's hard to compete with this, and you even have Iggy, and Iggy's no slouch there.
Sean Livingston stepped up this past season. I mean, if he stays healthy, he's dangerous too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you even talk about the Zaza Pachulia one, and if David West
can
stay healthy.
For Zaza. I mean, did anybody else see that coming? Because like,
no,
I did not.
No.
That was left field.
I didn't even expect them. When I heard they were trading Bogut to the Mavs, I went, holy shit, they're going to get rid of Bogut?
Well, they needed to money.
I know that, but it was more like I fucking can't believe that this is happening. And I even saw today an article on ESPN where they were saying that this, we should have seen it, but no one really talked about it because how the Warriors were 6 years ago. Apparently, Kevin Durant really liked the way the Warriors were even 6 years ago playing with Steph Curry in the FIBA tournaments, but didn't sign with them in 2011 because the Golden State Warriors weren't the team they were right now. Now they are, and it's like, it kind of seemed like, hey, you know what? If I liked them back then, I'm having trouble in OKC. Why not make the move? Why not make
move
to Golden State?
In international play, I think a lot of the guys get along really well because mm-hmm. It's really that like unifying moment because a lot of these guys didn't play a ton of college basketball. They were the one and dones.
Yep.
So this is their like camaraderie, like a bunch of guys around the same talent level. You're playing with all stars everywhere.
Well,
so
players are more friendly now. I mean, we don't live in the days of the dream team where Michael Jordan saying "fuck you, Isaiah, you can't be on this
team."
Just
pure spite.
Yeah.
I mean, and competitive. I think the competitiveness of the NBA is kind of going down because you know you never saw this in the mm-hmm. 90s. You never saw. You know, Jordan never wanted to go to Boston because he wanted to beat Larry Bird. He never went to the Lakers because he wanted to beat Magic. He didn't go to the Knicks because he wanted to beat Patrick.
And I'm going
to
throw this out there because I was listening to her today like I always do, and he had a great way to describe that.
Yep.
Is when if you look at, like, we're all millennials here. If you look at people older than us, they're more loyal. Hey, I'm going to stick with this company, and I'm loyal to you. Whereas guys our age, it's more about, hey, you know what? I'm not afraid to move to New York. I'm not afraid to go outside of a city where I grew up in order to kind of chase my dream or
times
have
change
the life
and
that I want.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's times change, and look, we can be a little more selfish. The world allows for that now. Mm-hmm. Look, back in the day, they didn't have the way free agency worked. You were stuck on your team.
Yep.
And that was the case.
And you were there for life, basically.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, Jordan's era was the beginning of, you know, free agency really, you know, changing the way mm-hmm. the league, you know, was shaped, really. Mm-hmm. So I think now the way the contracts are, they're able to maneuver contracts. Like, no one in the right mind would have seen David West taking, you know, minimum contract last mm-hmm. year
again,
on the Spurs.
Yeah.
Like, and then he does it again this year. It's fantastic. It allows him that freedom. I'm going to play where I want with who I want. And that's awesome that these players have that control because that's unheard of in other sports. I mean, go ahead and, you know, watch MLB players get, you know, $200 million contracts, $300 million contracts. They're just cashing out. Nobody's going, mm-hmm. I really like this team. I like playing with these guys. That doesn't happen. I mean, they'll build up camaraderie and friendship, it's just you don't see it.
I'll even put it to this level. What was it last week? We're looking at Andrew Luck like, man, how much money does he get? And now compared to these NBA players, he looks like a fucking steal in the NFL.
Well,
how about that? I mean, NFL numbers are obviously down. I mean, with baseball, you have no salary cap. There's a strict salary
basically,
cap.
Basically, it's when's the next endorsement deal? Because this was mm-hmm. pretty much the ESPN money. You know, they bought rights for all their NBA games to play them all. So that gave the league a ton of money to flush in.
Well, the TV money is the one that's coming next year. Well, all that TV money is coming next year.
We obviously saw the huge jump in the spike, but let's get back to the Warriors. I mean, one thing I do want to say, whether you're on the side of KD's a coward or, you know, KD's making the right move, KD's doing something and making him happy, you have to give props to both Jerry West and Bob Myers of the front office of the Golden State Warriors, because this team that they assembled, I mean, you always talk about teams building through the draft. You drafted Steph, you drafted Klay, you drafted Draymond, you brought on Iggy, who, you know, was kind of an outcast, you brought on Shedon Livingston, who broke his leg and didn't really look like the same player he was before, and you build up this team, and it's not like, you know, you're buying a team here. You are just adding another piece, and that piece happens to be a former MVP.
Well,
and looking at this front office, I mean, they're in contention for one of the best run organizations, even before this, but now it's just impressive.
You don't just hit on players like, I'm going to use Klay and Steph as the model. You don't hit on those players that obviously have the talent, but you hit on these players that have the mindset and the attitude that you want on your team. Like Steph Curry, to me, yeah, you can kind of see his shimmy and stuff as the Cam Newton side of it, where it's like the older folks are like, well, you know what? When you make a shot, don't celebrate. Just run down and play defense. Where as a guy like me, I'm looking at it and going, it's fucking having fun out there.
It's a different
era.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done if I was a kid. And then you have a guy like Klay, where I kind of see him as just the kind of soft-spoken, I'm going to come in, do my job, not really boast about anything.
He's the Robin, two steps Batman. Yeah,
unless it's throwing flack at LeBron in press conferences.
And you also have guys like Kawhi who have no emotions at all, who are basically the Terminator.
Man is a robot. And then you have Draymond, the guy that you take in the second round, who it's like, if this guy becomes anything, it's a win for us. And
That was fantastic scouting. And I mean, I think you're spot on. It's a really well-run organization, and they've built up the right way. And because of that, you know, I think one of the biggest things with KD coming, it kind of shows a lot about the character of the players on the team already. Look, it's fun. Their whole thing is, we're all friends. We have fun. We play to win. But at the end of the day, like, it's your life. Do you want to spend every day enjoying it with your buddies, going out, shooting hoops? That's fantastic. And that, on top of that, they're already fantastic. So that doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt that you're also probably going to win a ring, too.
You know, and you just set the record for most wins in a season. But, I mean, that says a lot. And I like the point you hit on with Iggy, because I feel like Luke Walton saw that and is like, when he's going to the Lakers, that I feel like Dang was his Iggy. Like, that's his first move was, I want to try. I know, obviously, you'll never get another shooting talent combo like Steph and Klay.
But that veteran
But if
come
you get
in.
A veteran to come in, you got young guys, you're building up that team, like, it's already catching on. That's how successful the Warriors are within 3 years of this team hitting, you know, their real
their
hot streak.
Yeah, their stride.
And you know who I want to just, like, who's been the... What's the word you used for the GM of the Warriors? Like, I can't even remember. I'm just going to say the guy who's been the best in all of this is Thunder GM Sam Presti. Because he could have came out.
He's a class act.
He could have done a complete Dan Gilbert. Fuck KD. He's an asshole.
We're going to win this shit before they do.
We're going to win it before they do. He can go fuck himself. And no, he came out and very gracious said, hey, we're going to move forward. We've never made actions. Like, we haven't been reactionary to anything, and we're going to keep moving forward. And I thought it was watching his press conference, I was like, that is what I want to see out of my GM after losing a guy like KD.
Well, that's a professional right there. Yeah. And Dan Gilbert is the owner, so obviously he's kind of more of the Mark Cuban, where he's got more emotions, where Cuban's crying at Dirk's MVP presser. But yeah, you know, with a guy like Sam Presti, he's a businessman. He is in it to make his team and you know, progress his true legacy, you could say. But I mean, even Sam Presti, I mean, you got to give him credit for even trying to make OKC more attractive for KD. I mean, it's the same team that was up 3-1 against the Warriors. You bring in Victor Oladipo, you bring in Sabonis to try to make this team more attractive, to try to fill the gaps that you saw, you know, kind of hurt your team in that 3-1. You bring a guy like Victor Oladipo to guard a guy like Klay, and you do your best to bring KD back. And it all falls short, but with the thing is, Sam Presti is still a fantastic GM.
You know what's the most interesting part of now, after looking at the meetings and stuff from the Hamptons, who was the only team not to bring their players to the meeting with KD?
The Thunder.
And you know what I thought about today? I went, holy shit. It's kind of like when you're like, you know what? We're going to let the kids talk over there, then I'm going to pull KD over and have the parent to kid talk.
Well, I mean, he was talking, though, with Russ and with
but it's more,
I forget, another player.
But it's more of that, like, okay, Russ isn't here. How do you really feel? That's what I feel, like, why they didn't bring, especially Russ. It's like, okay, KD, we want to really know how you feel. Mm. Because if Russ is there, of course KD's not going to say anything bad about it because you don't want to shit-talk your friend while he's right in front of you.
I don't even think it's that. I think it's more of, you know, you're bringing your players to be like, see, this is what we can offer. This is what they have to say about the organization. This is what they have to say about the city. Where it's,
yeah, they're trying to sell something to you. And meanwhile, OKC is, here's what we've got, here's what we've done for you, and here's what we're going to do for you in the future.
Sam Presti's more, you know, they were talking about it on ESPN where they had the meeting outside the arena, mm-hmm. and they were looking at Kevin Durant's face above one of the doors, and it's just kind of like, all right, you see this? This is yours. This is, we're giving you the keys to the palace. You're going to walk in, and this, you're going to make this your kingdom. You've done it before. You've been here before. Mm-hmm. Now it's time to actually, you know, surmount yourself as, you know, one of the best in the NBA.
And I mean, they've even said the Thunder front office that they kind of got an indication as it went on, like, he's probably going to go somewhere else. But they still left a few people. They're like, okay, you three executives, you guys stay in the Hamptons, kind of see this one through. But they kind of knew that, okay, we lost.
He's going to
pick
yeah.
someone else, probably the Warriors.
Now, what are your kind of thoughts on the Coward remarks on Stephen A. Smith? Because can you compare this to LeBron James going to Miami and developing the Big Three? Can you compare that to that at all? Can you see the relationship? What are your thoughts? Is KD a coward? Is he just doing what he wants to do? Can you blame him at all?
I don't blame him at all. The first thing I thought of was, oh, it's kind of like the decision. And then I went,
No.
KD didn't get on TV, and KD didn't make an hour-long presentation just to tell me where to go. Also, another thing, you got to look into the decision. LeBron waited, like, what was it, 50-some days or that, and then made his decision. KD made it before, like, they can't even ink the deal until Thursday. That's how soon he made it. So that's, to me, the big difference. LeBron basically left the Cavs where, shit, what are we doing? We don't got no time to do it. Where KD went, I'm leaving. I'm giving you enough time.
It's not like there's an attractive option to replace KD.
Yeah, but I mean, there's still, like, you still have now an entire offseason to game plan how you're going to move forward. And with the Thunder, that's probably going to be, okay, let's look at a trade plan for Russell Westbrook.
And we'll definitely look into that on this Saturday's Fast Break. And they're, you know, I don't know if it's a complete teardown, because I think the team that's still in place can definitely make the Western Conference playoffs.
It's the question of, you know, how much faith you have in, you know, Russ, and, you know, how long-term goals for this team, because they do have a fairly young core there. I mean, they've got pieces to build around, and I mean, it's absolutely up to them which direction they want to go. But it just comes down to, yeah, it comes down to Russ at the end of the day. Now it's, he's going to step up and be the man in the city, or he's going to be like, you know what? KD left. I'm done here, too.
And now we
and
have
that's, I know we're going to get into it, Sarah. I just want one quick remark to that. That's why I think you got to trade him before the season starts, because exactly what Dave said. He's leaving anyways.
You could end up with a locker room cancer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's just
trade him before the season starts to the highest bidder.
And now we have a year of basically Russell Westbrook watch
basically. Mm-hmm. I love it. So the Laker fans just like sitting there rubbing their hands.
Or Boston.
Like,
we'll
see who gets in.
Well, no, I'm saying if he hits free agency.
If he
hits free agency, everybody's, you know, that's the big money market.
But
they're hoping.
I kind of want to go back to KD because, you know, with
this. This is the KD show, after all.
with the Stephen A. Smith stuff. I
hated it.
You hate it, but I kind of agree. And I don't know if it's because.
Really?
Well, it's, I don't know if we're kind of like, you know, we were kind of on the Cleveland, you know, I was going for the Cavs because I don't want the Warriors to win, and I just think that they're just kind of getting blown out of the water. You were kind of rooting for the Warriors. I don't know if it was kind of,
I just didn't want Cleveland to win a title.
Yeah.
So Sean, are you like that old school mentality where you should stay and you should win it for yourself?
It's not even that. It's kind of a coward thing in my mind, just because, you know, you didn't, it wasn't because, you know, this team was that much better. You literally, your team was up 3-1.
Yeah.
You had three chances to put this team down. You had three chances to prove you were the guy in OKC. You had three chances to prove your MVP in 2012.
Could that team beat LeBron?
I don't know.
Well, that's the thing.
But that doesn't matter.
We won't find out.
The Warriors.
Yeah.
This is more about the Warriors right now. You're going to the team that you lost to.
But
if you can't beat them, he joined them.
Well,
literally one of the oldest phrases ever. You can't beat him, join him.
The one thing I'm going to say to that is, yeah, he could have beat the Warriors with the Thunder, but could he have beat the Cavs with the Thunder?
But then,
and he could look at it and say, hey, you know what? I looked at 2 years ago.
Historically, he's gotten his ass, yeah, but
Years ago, and yes, the Cavs were injured, but the Warriors beat them. Warriors were damn close to beating them this year. I can help them beat the Cavs, and they are my best shot at beating the Cavs.
Okay.
That's the way I saw it.
But say the Thunder beat the Warriors 4-1. They beat them when KD scores 40, puts them down at the Oracle. They go into the NBA Finals, and the same thing happens to them, like the Warriors. They go up 3-1, and then they lose. LeBron comes back and marches back. I think that lights a fire, or it should at least light a fire, being we got there again.
Right,
we got there with the same team. We added Victor Oladipo. We could do this again. We can fight again. And it's just kind of like, well, I don't want to fight anymore. I want to go to the easiest way. And I can't, yeah. Can I blame him? No, I can't blame him. I see where he's going from here, but I can definitely, I just think it's a coward move. I think you should have stayed and done what you started. I think, you know, the 1 year contract definitely should have happened, and he should have stayed with the Thunder. And it's heartbreaking to these Oklahoma City fans. It's heartbreaking to Sam Presti. And I just, again, want to kind of say that, you know, I disagree with what KD did, but then again, I can't blame the Golden State Warriors front office for going out and getting this
guy.
Because
one of the greatest offseason moves. Yeah,
exactly. You're building a dynasty there, and I can't blame them there.
I like the discussion about, you know, if they had made it to the finals and lost in, you know, that crazy fashion, like, Golden State did. I absolutely agree with you. I think that would have lit fire under him. But same time, it's like, this is what, the third time you've run to the brick wall known as LeBron James? You've lost to him every single time. At some point, you just got to admit, like, he's got my number.
Well,
I need
not
help.
Just that.
And I'm not getting it here.
Yeah, and that's exactly, I was going with it from a thinking of it of a different way, was if you beat the Warriors, go to the finals, lose to LeBron, yeah, that lights a fire under you. But it's kind of putting a mask over the greater problem of why he left in the first place, which was, I cannot win a championship with Russell. Like, we don't work together in this system. And this was the best thing for KD to lose the way he did, because now he could see, you know what? It doesn't work. I need to move on. And that's what he did.
But is it Russ? Or is it KD? Or is it both? I mean, was it the pairing of them together?
They couldn't work together. It's not the other. They can't work together.
But I'm saying Wes was never on this team. Can KD win a championship by himself? I mean, obviously I'm not saying like the LeBron style or where he's, you know, he's all up on himself going, you know, in 2007 up against the Spurs. but I'm more talking, you know, he is the guy. He is the main focus. There's not a, you know, a top five player next to him right there. He is the guy. He is the guy that they're going to rely on. He's basically going to be carrying this team like LeBron did in the finals.
The problem is he's never had that mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we've seen him play with Russ, without Russ. And, like, over his entire career, he's never had that, like, I'm going to dominate this game. This is mine. Like, he's...
That career-defining moment.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, he's been a fantastic scorer, one of the best we've ever seen. And don't get me wrong, talent-wise, off the charts, he's got all the physical tools. He has everything, but whatever, you know, unknown, you can't even qualify as, like, an aspect. It's just whatever it is, he doesn't have that, or he hasn't shown that yet. I'm not saying he doesn't have it. He hasn't shown it yet. Maybe because he's been, you know, he's had Russ there with him the entire time. So he hasn't felt the need to, like, break through to that next barrier. Like, you know, we watched, you know, Jordan, who struggled first on his own. And then when he got Scotty, like, that combo propelled him, I think, even to become a better player. So with KD and Russ, they were 1-2 one year after the other, and so pretty much they've had each other their entire career.
Yeah, you know, totally. And like the thing with Jordan, he had the 63-point performance against Boston in the Garden. Like, he had that career defining moment, and then he went on. LeBron, he had that performance against the Pistons where he scored basically every single point at the end of the game. Russ even had it where he had, you know, when KD went down,
he took Russ, over the triple that double team. Magic Johnson wannabe. Like, it was amazing.
Exactly, and KD had that great MVP season, but I don't think he ever had that moment. He didn't have that moment where he said, I've arrived. I'm not saying he hasn't shown himself as one of the best players in the NBA. He's top five. Three.
I'd say he's top three.
I mean, he's with Steph and LeBron. But something about this just seems like it's not right. Or it just doesn't feel...
The system, the group of guys around him, it's not the best environment for him. And it's sad. I agree with Ricky. That's terrible to say, but
a lot of people have been saying it as of late. So I'm just want to throw it out there.
I think after the dust all settled, I think people are kind of being like, all right, well, he's not. I can kind of see where he's coming from.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that this change of environment kind of he gets to take a step back and he doesn't have to worry as much. He doesn't have to force himself into a role that maybe he's just not comfortable with taking over.
Well, and I mean the thing that I think it comes down to in the just end of it after all the discussion is the system. In OKC, they tried to get a system where, okay, we want to pass the ball, but Russell Westbrook, and that's the player he is. Like, he can take over a game. However, that doesn't gel. Like, to me, the biggest negative is when your head coach needs to come into you at halftime and go, hey, pass the ball to this guy.
Yeah.
Like, needs to tell you, hey, pass the ball to KD. You're not going to get that with the Warriors. The ball's going to keep moving.
Yeah, they're super unselfish.
They're going to get, like, now in the finals, did Steph Curry make some boneheaded passes?
He went for some style points.
Yeah.
No one's going to deny that.
We mentioned it in the KD segment on Saturday. Take those finals moments where Harrison Barnes missed an open shot.
There was an awful lot of those.
And put KD in that spot.
Yeah.
Gets knocked down.
But, well, you can't
wide
say
open,
that.
But
Harrison Barnes went on an unprecedented cold streak.
Yeah. He did.
There is no logic. There's no rhyme or reason that will ever explain how he could perform so poorly for that run. But at the end of the day, it's uncharacteristic. Well, that's because it's uncharacteristic for him to perform that poorly. So, I mean, you got to give some credit to the defense on the Cavs as well.
But with Harrison Barnes, and you're saying, you know, KD would knock it down, you know.
He would knock down at least half of them.
Well, the thing is, you know, probably Harrison Barnes would too. If they're wide open threes, I mean, KD had those moments where he just didn't show up in the playoffs. I mean, it wasn't like he was perfect throughout these whole playoffs.
God, watching the final 2 minutes of, or even just the fourth quarter of these games was just like maddening. I can't even imagine as like, look, I was rooting for the Thunder the entire time.
You but picked I'm not, the Thunder.
But I'm not, you know, I'm not from OKC. I'm not, like, as invested as you guys are. I was losing my shit watching them in the fourth quarter. It was like nobody had a plan. They were all just out there running around, and, like, Russ basically was like, so I'm going to dribble the ball for about 22 seconds, and figure something out.
And that's the problem. That's
but,
the
but
problem.
But, no, even when KD got the ball off the bat, like, they tried back and forth. The Russ thing is just more. That's what
it
I pictured.
Added to it, yeah.
Yeah, but KD, same thing. It was just like poor plays, poor choices on the court. And I feel like no knock on the head coach, but maybe a more veteran head coach, maybe someone who would take charge a little more, could have guided them through that ship. I know we gave a lot of praise to OKC's coaching staff because they did a wonderful job. They made adjustments that nobody saw coming. They made this series so close. But I feel like it just the fourth quarter is just a shit show.
I feel like, you know, and kind of like, you know, Billy Donovan did do a great job. I mean, he obviously had, you know, mistakes, but Tyronn Lue did as well. They're both
working
coaches.
Yeah, it's not Tyronn Lue outcoached anybody.
Yeah, I mean, but if we look at it, you know, they dominated the Spurs. He didn't out-coach Pop, but they dominated him. They beat up the Spurs.
They put the right personnel on the floor. I would give him the credit.
Yeah, and the thing is if the Thunder just – the Thunder had – so many chances to beat the Warriors. I mean, even in the regular season, I mean, Curry hit the game winner from half court. I mean, we saw so many times that just the Thunder couldn't close. The Thunder couldn't close, and
the ankle injury game, the regular season one?
Where you hit the half court shot. And
he left
bang,
and came
bang.
Back. Yeah.
Yeah. it's just that killer instinct of KD is not there. And I feel like it's just kind of a coward thing where, and you know, I understand what KD's doing. I'm not trying to bash KD. Go get a ring, kid. I'm not saying that. But there's just something that feels it's left unfinished. And I don't think it's ever going to get that storybook ending. LeBron left, and it did feel unfinished. It did feel like, you know, what's happening here. But when he came back 3-1 and got the championship for Cleveland, that kind of put it, well, you're kind of forgiven. I mean,
that is a stamp that you're just that's everything.
But
to the
I mean,
Cleveland.
With KD, it's not going to have that same.
Well, KD's, that's what I'm saying. KD's
he's not
coming
from
home.
OKC.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not coming
but
home.
But I was more comparing to a team that drafted you, a team that saw you grow up, a team that saw you win MVPs, the Rookie of the Year, all
yeah, I mean,
of this.
Kevin admitted, like this city molded him. Like he was born in Washington, but like OKC made him the man he is today. And,
he played a couple of years in Seattle. Don't forget about the Super
That's why I said he was born in Washington.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two
but no, fair enough. It's just a point that yeah, there's a different level of attachment LeBron had to Cleveland, and you know, I see the reason he came back, and that's he has a story that's going to go down in history. But KD, you're right. I don't see him coming back to OKC. I don't see that. I think he made the move. He's going to move forward with the Warriors. I mean, they're going to win a shit ton of games, probably some unprecedented number for how who knows how long, however long they can keep this together. I mean,
well, that's the question I was going to ask for you guys. 73 wins last year. We talked about it. We kept talking about it. Can anyone beat the Warriors? Now they add KD. Are they going to beat the 73-win record?
I don't even think this team focuses on it because...
Well, I'm not saying they focus on it, but well,
the
still,
main
can they?
Thing that this team, and they're going to know it all too well because all the haters are just going to throw it in their face is, you know what? We're just going to go out there and play. And if we win, great. We're not going to worry about how many games we win because in the end we learned if you don't win that ring, it don't mean a thing. And
nicely
that's
put.
And that's how it is. So, I mean, yeah, is it cute to say, oh, well, they can beat their own record? But in the end, I think this team now realizes, hey, you know what? It really doesn't fucking matter.
Oh, no, I'm not saying they're going to make it about 73 wins or 74 wins. I'm
no,
just more saying.
We will. Is the media make it all
but,
about
but
that.
But it's more of, will they? I mean, it's not like,
they have,
will that be their goal?
Yeah,
but,
say.
They can.
The thing that got them to that point last year, they did have huge performances off the bench. Guys stepping in who don't normally. And then it's the early leads that Steph and Clay and Draymond were able to provide for them. I mean, they were up by 20, 30 points commonly in the third quarter. So if I think the first 15 games of the season, we'll kind of see them shake out, you know, how they're going to do this rotation, who's going to play when, and like that fourth quarter, do we even need starters? Like, that's going to be crazy. I think they have every chance to get there. I think they're probably going to win like 70 or 69, though. They won a lot of games that were, like you said, the last second shots that were incredible, and yeah.
I want to jump in real quickly and just say, do you think Steve Kerr just kind of messes up with a little bit? Because we did see Steph kind of get injured before. KD's obviously have injury problems before. Do you think he kind of pulls a pop and just rests his guys for a couple games?
I don't think so. He has the luxury of doing it if he wants to.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, if they start the season 10-0, I think you're going to, you know, at that point, you just kind of go, yeah, feels like another 70-plus win season.
Uh-huh. How this season, how I feel like it's going to play out now is from us as a fan base of just the NBA, we're going to be excited up front because it's going to be the novelty of seeing him with Golden State.
Oh, yeah, I can't
But
wait
by
to
the
watch
time
that.
We get to Christmas or the turn of the new year, all that's going to be gone because we're just going to be like, can we just fast forward to Cavs Warriors in June?
Well, we wanted that this year too.
It's
going to
be
the same thing.
Well, I think this year people were really excited because, you know, will they get the record? And they just beat it by one. Mm-hmm. Now, if they're doing this again, people are going to be like, well, we 82-0
bitches.
Yeah.
Well, no, there's
not going to be that draw.
I'm not saying the record. It's just going to be the novelty of KD on the Warriors.
No.
And then by the time we get to Christmas, it's okay, just fast forward to the playoffs and the finals.
No, I completely agree. Yeah. Like, people are going to tune in, but once they're like winning, it's going to be like, well, this is the same thing over and over again. Like, I'm sick of seeing
I'm
this.
Sure people outside of Chicago got sick of the 90s Bulls, but this isn't, I don't want to say it, but
Oakland's
like, this
gonna
is
be fucking mad.
This is absolutely just a crazy amount of talent packed into one team. This is more talent than I want to say the Bulls had in the 90s. Like,
without a doubt.
Yeah, the Bulls, Pippen, Jordan, yes, Rodman edition was great, but look, you have four all stars, and out of them, like, you have scoring champions. You have the best three-point shooter in NBA history. You've got Draymond Green, who is a dynamic player. There's so much talent.
Dave, this is MVP history. I don't. You just kind of scoff over this. You just got Ricky to agree with you that this team might be better than the 96 Bulls.
Because
he said,
he
nod. This is a guy that's getting 23 engraved in his headstone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, this is a guy that's going to
90s
be buried
Bulls
in
is
a
just all, yeah.
Yeah, he's getting his when they bring him in the cast, it's going to be the Bulls song that he always damn sings. Go.
Only the Bulls.
Yeah.
Only the Bulls. Chicago Bulls. You know what this is like? I'm going to make this comparison. You know what this is like? This is like if that 95-96 team had Michael Jordan or Michael Scottie and Dennis, and then Karl Malone said, "Sure, I'm coming to Chicago."
Or John Stockton
or John Stockton.
Oh
well,
my God,
no,
Stockton.
No, it'd have to be Karl because Stockton would be like the Russell Westbrook, the shorter guard.
But
no, it'd be like Reggie Miller. Different. It'd be like Reggie Miller if we're going for scoring wise. I mean, Karl Malone
I'm looking
made his
at
money
the leading scorers in that 96 season, and Karl Malone was the second leading scorer.
I'm talking player. I'm talking like player type wise.
I went off of scoring. It was Michael.
Either way, it is an unprecedented amount of talent put together on a team that we've never seen this before.
Could you imagine if Karl was on that team too? Woo!
I can't take more 90s Bulls talk from your
mailman.
We're just going to limit this down.
We got two more questions. Is it Cavs Warriors is written stone? What would happen for that finals not to happen?
LeBron injury. James breaks a leg.
Yeah,
injuries?
It's literally just injuries is the only way it's going to disrail.
I don't think anyone's going to disagree with that there, unless, again, there's injuries. And at least,
and look, Cleveland's still got time. They got moves to make in free agency. They've got the season.
They got D-Wade, basically.
They got K-Love as a piece they can move if they need to. They've got so many options. But this team in the East, I mean, I feel like they're just... It is. It's destiny now for year three, the matchup again.
And if it happens, it's the first time ever in NBA history that's back-to-back three times.
And that's the last thing I wanted to say about the kind of KD decision was he could have stayed in OKC. Yeah, I can beat the Warriors, but then I got to beat the Cavs. The Warriors, I know I can get there, and then it's just beating the Cavs. And for Boston, it was, do I really want to see LeBron before the finals? And then if I do get through LeBron, I got to go through the Warriors or the Thunder?
I mean, we also just can't turn up. I mean, again, I can't blame them because you're going to a team that won 73 games without you.
How do you say no to Tom Brady? And it's a hard thing to do.
That I have no idea. That's a case that I cannot say no to. But final question, if we see Cavs Warriors again, and obviously injuries aside, it's most likely going to happen. What are the holes that Cleveland can expose on this team to win again? Because right now,
no Andrew Bogut again.
Zaza, arguably,
it depends
it's
on
a
how
plug
he,
and play.
It depends on how he plays, though.
Look, Zaza was—he's always been that. I'm just a step below an all-star caliber player. So look, they got a tremendous value and a guy
like,
who can
not,
put up
I'm
like
not
9-9.
I'm not trying to bash Zaza. I'm just saying if he can't bring that same thing that Bogut brought, that's going to be a problem.
Oh, I know. I think he absolutely can. I don't have any questions in Zaza's game. He's proven he's a veteran. He's got the years and he's got the history that builds up to that. I have no issue. It's the question of how much are they going to run with Zaza as their center, or are they going to lap a death? You drop Iggy in there instead of Zaza.
Or Draymond. Drop Draymond at the
No, I meant put, just removing Zaza and Iggy in. So, I mean, they have that option. And they can play small. I mean, Jesus
that
Christ.
That small death lineup, we can call it?
I hate the death lineup. That phrase has killed me.
It's true, though.
I know.
It's pretty.
That's murder.
It's murder. I played it in 2K. It's fun. But, I mean, the holes, I would say, are probably interior defense. And a team like Sacramento or the Pelicans. I'm not saying they're going to beat them, but you know, a guy like Anthony Davis,
if you
a guy
can
like DeMarcus Cousins,
and dominate the boards and slow that game down a bit.
Weirdly enough, the Thunder with Cantor and Adams, or you know, if Tim Duncan was you know the same player he was 5 years ago,
The Spurs got Powell.
I think what
man
teams,
can't play defense, but man, can he shoot still?
I think what teams might be doing, or maybe hell, even the Timberwolves. We keep talking them up. Cat might be able to dominate. We'll have to see.
Oh my god, that'd be crazy. First round, you got.
Oh god,
Timberwolves.
Got it.
Versus Warriors.
It's kind of that Archer gif. Like stop, I can only get so high.
Yeah. I think everyone. Look, let's be honest. We're gonna be excited for the Cavs Warriors in the finals, but that's the matchup I want to see. I want to see this young talent go up against.
I want to see someone give them hell. I don't care who. Anyone give them hell. That's gonna be fun.
Yeah. Honestly, the West could be interesting. I think Memphis did a lot this offseason. I mean, I was giving Memphis a lot of shit. Look, they fell apart at the end of the year. But look, you still got a big down low. Conley can still produce. I mean, he's not an all-star, or he is an all-star. He's not that, like, I'm a generational player, though. So.
But Paul didn't want to play with baby brother.
No, he didn't.
He did not want to play with baby brother.
I don't blame him.
But they've got some size they could abuse, and Chandler Parsons isn't exactly going to hurt. So.
We'll have to see. We'll definitely
see. There's a lot of matchups I can't wait, but I just can't figure out how you're going to beat. No, the Warriors just no.
No, there's no. I think the
wrap
only competition
up.
Would be the Cavs
just
because they beat
can
them
we,
before.
Can we go 11 months from now?
Yeah. 2017.
We'll see you guys
I just
in 11
want to
months.
Go see. The
there's no
fast
need.
Forward to June.
Say, there's no need for the Fast Break podcast for the next 11 months. We're just letting you guys know. We'll see for Cavs Warriors.
Basically. So Ricky will be back in about June of next year.
We're not making any bets. I'm not wearing another LeBron, or would it have to be Kyrie? I don't even know.
Any fun? No, it'd be LeBron again, just to spite you to buy another LeBron.
Yeah, but then
it'd
get old. Probably a Dan Gilbert shirt. That's what I.
All right.
Have to
anyways,
wear.
Final thoughts on KD going to Warriors.
I love it. I mean, for him as
you
a player,
me.
I love it because it's the best decision for him.
Yeah.
It's the best decision for him, and I'm happy for him.
Yeah, you pretty much just made the greatest team on paper in history. The question is, can you follow up on
it? Now just don't fuck up.
Yeah, now just don't fuck up, because that's the big thing. If this team can't win a championship, holy shit.
Oh, KD's fucking done. I think KD should retire mentally if he can't win it. Yeah.
He's mentally ruined. I think, like, oh, the hell that team would give you. The hell the NBA, the media, like, it would implode. Oakland, it would just implode.
The only holes I would kind of say, again, is interior defense and kind of Steve Kerr, because we kind of saw him kind of lose the battle to Tyronn Lue. It was kind of back and forth, and, you know, Luke Walton's not going to be on the bench. We'll see how much that affects him.
Yeah, I was surprised. I feel like after watching the playoffs, I give Luke some more credit.
Yeah, Lue was a good – I mean, Lue did a great coaching job. Yeah. He obviously got smoked and demolished in the first two games, but he obviously came back, and he obviously won that one. But I look at this team, and there's not too many holes that you can discuss. And even those holes of interior defense, well, you got – I mean, this team could probably put up 200 points.
And they also got the guy that we expected them to at the end of the first round in Damian Jones to help out with that – defensive inside. I know he's just a rookie.
Yeah, we'll
but
see how much
he can be
contribute.
A guy that can
I
help.
Say, well, they still need like guys like what was it, McAdoo? He still needs to step up. He was a little questionable from time to time. There's still growth there. So I mean, look, this team, they're not done building. This is dynasty mode, and this is disgusting.
Yeah, this is like when you turn off cap, you turn on forced trade, you just turn on it all, turn off injuries. Anyways. I'm completely shocked. I didn't think it was going to happen. I thought he was staying with the Thunder. Same. At least for 1 year. I always knew it was a possibility. Even when we recorded that segment, do the Warriors have a chance of signing KD back in February? I didn't think it was real. I thought we were just fucking around.
Yeah, it was like 90%, you know, staying OKC. And we floated it. It was 10%, you know. Mm-hmm. Jesus, that 10%.
That was exactly
though.
Like I said, though. It was not a
good call, kid.
Oh, something's not getting out. That was a friend just saying, hey, I know the guy. You don't know what he's thinking, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's also kind of like some they brought it up, too. Like when LeBron was signing, it's mostly he's going to the Cavs. There's no doubt. Mm-hmm. And then he drops the heat bomb. It's insane to think. It's insane what's happened. I mean, I was completely shocked and completely blindsided. Again, I think it's kind of a coward move that KD did go, but. Can I blame him? No. I mean, he's going to do the right move for his career.
But how deplorable is it, Skip?
Anyways.
Is it S9, S10?
Anyways.
Just got to make fun of Stephen A.
That's going to wrap up the KD podcast. We're gonna see you next time when this Golden State Warriors podcast wraps up. We got to come up with a new name. I mean, we call it the fast break. It would just be, you know, run down the court and just drop threes, basically.
Or I feel like we have to throw Dub in there. Dub Nation Podcast?
Dub Nation DMP. Podcast. Dub Break Podcast. Anyways, it's going to wrap up.
Did not participate podcast.
This is going to wrap up the Fast Break Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Sorry we didn't get it out directly on July 4th, but we definitely got it out as quick as possible.
We needed some time off, let's be honest. Yeah. We need at least one day. Can you give us one day? One day.
Ricky, I think when August hits, we'll have some break before September season. Happens.
Nah, Summer League bitches. It's on, and I'm excited.
Hey,
for this
it's
Saturday.
Fun. Ben Simmons threw a great pass. We'll get into it on Saturday. But thank you so much for listening. If you're listening to SoundCloud, hit that like button, hit that repost button. If you're listening on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow us at Most Valuable Pod. You can follow me on Twitter at Schwarbo. I did have to go private just in case, but I'll let you follow me if you do. Drop that follow. We'll go. You can follow Ricky at Ricky Wibber. You can follow Dave on Twitter at Dave_don't_tweet. And even follow us on Snapchat at Most Valuable Pod. It's going to wrap it up. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to this MVP podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Most Valuable Pod for more great podcasts.